And now chapter 17, The Descent of the River Ganges. Shukdev Goswami said, "My dear King, Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamanadev in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in its covering with the nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River. Having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder, the water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges, yet its waters remain ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord before descending within this universe, she is known as Vishnupadi. Later she received other names like Janavi and Bhagirathi. After 1,000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka to be Vishnupad, or situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Dhruva Maharaj, the famous son of Maharaj Uttanapad, is known as the most exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord, because of his firm determination in executing devotional service. Knowing that the sacred Ganges water washes the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dhruva Maharaj, situated on his own planet, to this very day accepts that water on his head with great devotion. Because he constantly thinks of Krishna very devoutly within the core of his heart, he is overcome with ecstatic anxiety. Tears flow from his half-open eyes, and eruptions appear on his entire body. The seven great sages, Marichi, Vasishta, Atri, and so on, reside on planets beneath Dhruvaloka. Well aware of the influence of the water of the Ganges, to this day they keep Ganges water on the tufts of hair on their heads. They have concluded that this is the ultimate wealth, the perfection of all austerities, and the best means of prosecuting transcendental life. Having obtained uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they neglect all other beneficial processes like religion, economic development, sense gratification, and even merging into the Supreme. Just as jnanis think that merging into the existence of the Lord is the highest truth, these seven exalted personalities accept devotional service as the perfection of life. After purifying the seven planets near Dhruvaloka, or the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods in billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates the moon, or Chandraloka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. On top of Mount Meru, the Ganges divides into four branches, each of which gushes in a different direction, that is, east, west, north, and south. These branches, known by the names Sita, Alakananda, Chakshu and Bhadra, flow down to the ocean. The branch of the Ganges, known as the Sita, flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru, and from there it runs down to the nearby peaks of the Kesarachala Mountains, which stand almost as high as Mount Meru itself. These mountains are like a bunch of filaments around Mount Meru. From the Kesarachala Mountains, the Ganges falls to the peak of Gandhamadana Mountain, and then flows into the land of Bhadrashva Varsha. Finally, it reaches the ocean of salt water in the west. The branch of the Ganges, known as Chakshu, falls onto the summit of Malyavan Mountain, and from there cascades onto the land of Ketumala Varsha. The Ganges flows incessantly through Ketumala Varsha, and in this way also reaches the ocean of salt water in the west. The branch of the Ganges, known as Bhadra, flows from the northern side of Mount Meru. Its waters fall onto the peaks of Kumuda Mountain, Mount Nila, Shveta Mountain, and Sringavan Mountain in succession. Then it runs down into the province of Kuru, and after crossing through that land, flows into the saltwater ocean in the north. Similarly, the branch of the Ganges, known as Alakananda, flows from the southern side of Brahmapuri, or Brahma Sadhana. Passing over the tops of the mountains in various lands, it falls down with fierce force upon the peaks of the mountains Hemakuta and Himakuta. After inundating the tops of those mountains, the Ganges falls down onto the tract of land known as Bharatvarsha, which he also inundates. Then the Ganges flows into the ocean of salt water in the south. Persons who come to bathe in this river are fortunate. It is not very difficult for them to achieve with every step the results of performing great sacrifices like the Rajasuya and Ashvamedha yagyas. Other rivers, both big and small, flow from the top of Mount Meru. These rivers are like daughters of the mountain, and they flow to the various tracts of land in hundreds of branches. Among the nine varshas, the tract of land known as Bharatvarsha is understood to be the field of fruitive activities. Learned scholars and saintly persons declare the other eight varshas to be meant for very highly elevated pious persons. After returning from the heavenly planets, they enjoy the remaining results of their pious activities in these eight earthly varshas. In these eight varshas, or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing, and both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who lived during Treta Yuga. In each of those tracts of land, there are many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the season, and there are beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains demarcating the borders of those lands lie enormous lakes of clear water filled with newly grown lotus flowers. Aquatic birds such as swans, ducks, water chickens, and cranes become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers, and the charming sound of bumblebees fills the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods. Always attended by their respective servants, they enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands by their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly varshas enjoy, attracted by the activities of the opposite sex. To show mercy to his devotees in each of these nine tracts of land, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Narayan, expands himself in his quadruple principles of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. In this way, he remains near his devotees to accept their service. In the tract of land known as Ilarvata Varsha, the only male person is Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, she immediately turns him into a woman. I shall explain this later in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In Ilarvata Varsha, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Sankarshan, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental, but because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarshan is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. The most powerful Lord Shiva says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you in your expansion as Lord Sankarshan. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Although you are unlimited, you remain unmanifest to the non-devotees. O my Lord, you are the only worshipable person, for you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences. Your secure lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees, whom you satisfy by manifesting yourself in various forms. O my Lord, you deliver your devotees from the clutches of material existence. Non-devotees, however, remain entangled in material existence by your will. Kindly accept me as your eternal servant. We cannot control the force of our anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction or repulsion for them. But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and destroying it, he is not affected even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he will be victorious. For persons with impure vision, the Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverages. Thus bewildered, such unintelligent persons become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord himself appears angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion. When the wives of the serpent demon were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, due to shyness, they could proceed no further in their worship of him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated by their touch, for he is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Lord Shiva continued, All the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction, although he actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord in his incarnation as Shesha holds all the universes on his hoods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? From that supreme personality of Godhead appears Lord Brahma, whose body is made from the total material energy, the reservoir of intelligence predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born as a representation of false ego known as Rudra. By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements, and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements and senses, and even Lord Brahma and I myself, like birds bound by a rope. Only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain, and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being. The illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all of us conditioned souls to this material world. Therefore, without being favored by Him, persons like us cannot understand how to get out of that illusory energy. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the cause of creation and annihilation. Thus ends the 17th chapter of the 5th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Descent of the River Ganges.